It is a new year. This is my favorite time of year because I like to look forward and think about things that I want to see the Lord accomplish in my life and in the life of the church over the coming year. And so I think for the month of January, we're just going to think about what God wants to do in us going forward. And we're going to start with this prayer. I read a statistic last week that said 25% of people who set New Year's resolutions, they abandon them by January the 8th. Okay, so I think that's what, tomorrow? So if you made New Year's resolutions, you got one more day, okay? And that's it. You can do it for one more day. It was an interesting statistic. I don't know if you are that kind of person that sets goals or wants to see things happen prayerfully, but I want us to kind of think in that direction today. Let's pray together and just ask for God's help. God, as we look at your word, we recognize in humility that you are the sovereign, almighty God of the universe. We recognize, God, that we are not. Father, that as we enter into this year not knowing what will happen, God, you've seen it. You know it. And you are leading us into it. And so, God, we humbly ask that you would help us to enter this year in faith, confidence, God, not in ourselves, but in you. And so as we look into your word today, we pray that you would help us. We need to see you in it, and we need to see ourselves rightly in it as well. And so we come to you and just ask that through your Spirit, you would work in our hearts as we pray in faith. Would you take a few moments and just quietly, don't say anything out loud, but just ask God to speak to your heart today. And then would you take a few moments just quietly and ask God to speak through me what he wants to say in order that the Lord Jesus might be glorified and lifted up. Well, Father, again, we come needy. I more than anyone. We come needy, God. We come into your presence to ask that you would help your people. Help us to see your word and to understand it. Help us to apply it to our lives in order that we might not be smarter sinners, but that our lives might be changed as your Spirit works in us. We thank you, God, for your grace in our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, in Ephesians chapter 3, I read the other day, someone estimated that by the time a person is 18 years of age, they've seen 1 million television commercials. Isn't that amazing? 1 million television commercials. Now, I don't know if you can think of the best TV advert that you have ever seen in your life. You know, you've seen so many of them. How can you possibly isolate just one advert? But there are people, particularly people in the marketing industry, that have tried to rank the best all-time television adverts. And you think, of all the television adverts that have ever been created, how can you possibly isolate the best one? But all of us, if we stop to think about it, have one or two adverts that we can't get out of our head, right? We can't get them out of our mind. They kind of stand head and shoulders above the rest. Well, think about our prayer lives. Think about the millions of prayers that you have prayed in your life. Prayers for healing for someone, or prayers for guidance, or prayers for wisdom. How could someone possibly say that a single prayer could rise head and shoulders above the rest as being the best prayer, or the prayer that stands above all others? I mean, aren't all prayers good? Of course they are. Can we think of one particular prayer that stands above the rest? If you were stranded on a desert island and could only pray one thing for the rest of your life, what would you pray for? Maybe you would pray to get off of the desert island. What would be the one prayer that would guide you through? Well, so we look at Ephesians chapter 3 today. I don't think we can do much better than this prayer that the Apostle Paul prays for this group of people. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, really verses 14 to 19, contain the second of two prayers that the Apostle Paul prays for these believers in Ephesus. And it's just as important, it's just as informative for us what Paul does not pray for in this prayer as it is what he does pray for. There's no mention here in these verses of illness or of financial difficulty. There's no mention of marital restoration. Not that those things are unimportant. Of course they are important. But what Paul is going to do in these verses is take us to something much more fundamental, to something much more foundational in terms of our Christian lives. What is present in these verses, in this particular prayer, I fear is a depth of perspective that is so often lacking, and I'll just speak for myself, in my own prayer life. I don't often pray the way Paul prays in these verses, and that bothers me. That bothers me. As Paul humbly bows his knee before the Almighty Sovereign God of heaven, who gives generously, that's essentially what we see in verses 14 to 16. He says, I bow my knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Naming is a sign of authority. God, the God that the Apostle Paul addresses in humility, is the sovereign God who stands in authority over all things. Sovereign over all things, that according, verse 16, to the riches of his glory, he is not a stingy God, is he? He's a generous God who gives of himself. And so as the Apostle Paul humbly bows before the sovereign God who gives generously according to his grace, he prays what could be the most potent, the most powerful prayer of all for these people. And this is my prayer as we go into 2018. This is my prayer for you. This is what I'm going to pray for all of us. And I hope that you will pray it for me as well. Because if we could get this, 2018 would look a whole lot different than 2017. The content of Paul's prayer essentially is built on a simple equation. The break's almost over. We're going to go back to school, back to reality, back to maths. This prayer is built on a simple equation. It is God's power plus God's love equals our maturity in the Christian faith. God's power plus God's love equals our maturity in the Christian faith. Paul begins this prayer. He begins these verses with a prayer that we might grow in our experience of God's immense power. We might grow in our experience of God's immense power. Look at verses 16 and 17. He prays to God that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He begins with this prayer that we might grow in our experience of God's immense power. Now, in these verses, he's not just asking for an awareness of God's power. He's already done that. Back in chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, in his first prayer, he asked that they might be aware of the strength of God that is working on their behalf. But here, he is asking for actual power mediated by his Spirit, that his immense power through his Spirit might bring itself to bear upon our lives in making us strong and strengthening us. But strengthening us for what? What is it that Paul wants us to be strong in? Is it so that we might work miracles? Is it that he wants us to be strong so that we might overcome some obstacle that stands in our way? Is it, heaven forbid, that we might be able to somehow get whatever we want, like rubbing a genie's lamp? No, this isn't a prayer for physical power. This isn't a prayer for physical power. Take a look at where Paul longs to see this strength at work. He says, I pray that God might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. Where? In your inner being. In your inner being. Paul's prayer is that God's Spirit might be powerfully at work in their hearts to make them new on the inside. To make them new and to make us new on the inside. Now, the inner self, the inner man for Paul, is not quite the same as the new self that we read about over in chapter 4, verses 24. The new self is the not yet. It is what is true of us positionally because of what Jesus has done. So we are new in Christ, but we are being made new in this present age through his Spirit that is at work within us. So you might think about it like this. When did I become a parent? Well, I believe I became a parent when Mandy became pregnant. So that I was a parent already, but I had to wait 9 months in order to fully realize what it meant to be a parent. And so in the same way, the new self is already ours. We are already new in Christ, and yet we are being made new in this life while we await that day when that newness is fully realized and complete. So Paul is praying for this transformation on the inside. He is praying essentially that our inner self might be renewed through the power of the Spirit working in us. If we looked over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I just want to read one verse in 2 Corinthians 4. Paul says, We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Day by day. Paul's prayer is that we might experience this strength of God's immense power as God's Spirit brings himself to bear on our inner self, renewing us on the inside. On the inside. So his prayer is for the renewal of this inner self so that we might come to more closely resemble now what we will be one day. This is what we call progressive sanctification. Those are big words. It basically just means that God is at work in us to transform our character so that we might become now what we will be in fullness one day. Well, he further clarifies this in the first half of verse 17. Now, the ESV translates it so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, it's probably more of just a parallel expression of what he's just said. So he said that we would be strengthened in as the Spirit works in our inner man. And to kind of parallel that, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You have the Spirit empowering in verse 16, and you have Christ dwelling in chapter 17. And to be empowered by the Spirit simply means that Christ is indwelling us, that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is at work in us. And so this is probably a parallel expression that just kind of further clarifies what he's praying for these people. You have in verse 16 that we might be strengthened in our inner being, and in verse 17 that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith. The heart is that central place, that seat of authority in our lives. And so this is a prayer that Christ might have a controlling presence in our lives. If we were to skip forward a few chapters to Ephesians 5, verse 18, we see that Paul commands these believers not to be controlled by wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. That means to be controlled by the Spirit, not controlled by other things. And so for the Apostle Paul, this prayer that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith is a prayer that the Lord Jesus might take up his rightful place on the throne of our lives. The central point, that we might grow every day in the lordship of Jesus Christ. That the language is that of a settled dwelling, a home for the Lord Jesus in our lives. It's not a temporary abode like an Airbnb. It's not, you know, it's not that, okay, yeah, Jesus, you can be Lord of my life on Sunday, but then, you know, you've got to go somewhere else because Monday to Saturday, that's mine, and I get to do it then. No, Paul's prayer is that Christ might dwell, that his lordship might rule us every single day, and that we might grow in it as we daily surrender to his control in our lives. Years ago, a man named Robert Munger wrote it's not even a book, it's just a little tract almost. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it was this allegory, basically, of a man who takes the Lord Jesus through every little room in his house. And as Jesus goes into the sitting room, he, you know, kind of moves things around and says, well, this looks better over here. And he goes into the study and he does the same thing. And then there's the inner closet, you know, that place that you kind of just stuff everything in. And the Lord Jesus goes in there and says, well, we got a lot of work to do here. You know, we got to get rid of this and get rid of that. And at the end of it, Robert Munger writes that, you know, he finally just says, okay, God, here, just take the title to my house. Just take the whole thing. I don't want it. You just take it and you do with it what you want. This is the prayer that Paul prays for these people, that the Lord Jesus would dwell, that the Lord Jesus would be at home in, that the Lord Jesus would be in control over their lives, that they might grow in the lordship of Jesus in their life. That he might have free reign in shaping their lives, in renovating their hearts, in demolishing what needs to be demolished, in building up what needs to be building up. Because look, let's face it, you know this, I don't need to tell you this, because you're like me. We're lousy as the lords of our own lives. You know what happens when you try to take control of things and do it your own way. It often doesn't end well, does it? And see, Paul's prayer is that they would continually, daily surrender to the lordship of Christ as he takes that controlling place in their lives. This is what Paul means when he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that he might have a controlling presence in your life. Now, the meaning isn't that difficult, but the structure of these verses, verses 14 and 19, is really difficult to understand because Paul basically writes one kind of long run-on sentence. So verses 14 and 19 are all just one sentence. And so it's difficult to understand the structure. So when we come to 17, the second part of 17, if you have an ESV or an NIV, you'll notice that the way it's translated serves as kind of a lead-in into verse 18. So my ESV says, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have dot, 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 dot. It's kind of a lead-in into verse 18. I'm not so sure that's the best way to structure it. I think that this is probably the third aspect of what Paul is praying in this particular prayer. So I think it might be better to say that God might grant you out of the riches of his power to be rooted and established in love. That Paul's desire is that they would be rooted and established in God's love. Paul's praying that by God's power that they might have a deeper and abiding sense of God's love for them. Now, this is not simply an emotional understanding or some emotional experience of God's love. It's an experiential assurance of God's love for them in Christ. It's built upon an objective sense of who they are in Jesus. The Father loves us as he loves the Son, because we are in Christ. And so if the Father loves the Son, how much does he love us who are in Christ? He loves us as he loves the Son. And so the Apostle Paul prays that they might be rooted and established in God's love for them. Rooted and established, of course, bring to mind images of agriculture, right? Rooted and established bring, you know, stir images of buildings, of architecture. That our roots might sink deep into the soil of God's love for us, that we might be rooted and established. You know, when you look at a giant oak tree whose branches spread, you know, over scores of feet. Most of those oak trees have a root system that goes down maybe even further than 20 feet underground. They're rooted deep, and that gives them immense strength. Or the depth to which a pillar must be driven into the ground in order to support a tall building. This is Paul's prayer, that they would be rooted and established in the love that God has for them. So that God's love, and Paul is thinking of God's love for them, not their love for God. Now, our love for God is just a response to his love for us. And so God's love is the foundation of all of our growth in the Christian life. It's God's love that serves as the foundation. His love is the root and the soil by which we grow as believers. And so, having experienced this power of God, having prayed that God would give us power, that the Spirit might change our inner hearts, that Christ might continually dwell on the seat of authority in our lives, that we might be rooted and established in God's love for us, he prays that God would deepen our understanding and awareness of what that inexhaustible love looks like. This is what he prays in verses 18 and 19. He asks in verse 18 that their understanding of the magnitude of God's love in Christ might grow. Verse 18. Now, in the NIV, the object of these things is the love of Christ. In the ESV, it's more ambiguous. We don't really know what the object is. I think it's best to say that it's the love of Christ, but it's not made clear by Paul in the text. He says in verse 18 that they may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And that's all he says. In the NIV, they make an interpretive decision and they say, of the love of Christ. And I think that's right. I think that's the best way to understand it. But this is Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer is that their understanding of the magnitude with which God loves us in Jesus Christ would grow and expand. That we might understand more fully what it means that he loves us. In verse 19, the first part there, he prays that we might know Christ's love, which is unknowable. That we might know that which is unknowable. Here's how he says it. To know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. It's a prayer that we might understand and experience in greater measure the power of a love so inexhaustible that we can only ever grow in our understanding of it. We can never arrive at a full knowledge of how deeply God loves us in Christ. Indeed, even in eternity, we will grow in our understanding and experience of God's love for Christ. A love which surpasses knowledge. God's love in this text, God's love and Christ's love are two sides of the same coin. So when Paul talks about the love of Christ, it is the same as him saying the love of God. It is God's love for us demonstrated by and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so T.F. Torrance, he said, there is in fact no God behind the back of Jesus, kind of pulling the strings. There's no act of God other than the act of Jesus. There's no God but the God that we see and meet in him. Jesus Christ is the open heart of God, the very love and life of God poured out to redeem humankind, the mighty hand and power of God stretched out to heal and save sinners. All things are in God's hands. But the hands of God and the hands of Jesus in life and in death are the same. So when Paul talks about the love of God, when he talks about the love of Christ, those are the same loves. It is the love of God demonstrated and revealed to us in Jesus Christ, the depth of which we will never be able to exhaust. Indeed, we will never be able to fully understand, even in eternity. We will be growing in our experience and understanding of how deeply God loves us in Christ. So this is Paul's prayer, that we might grow in our understanding of God's inexhaustible love. How different would our lives be if we thought much about the love of God for us in Christ? If that took center stage in our lives, I dare to say our lives would be a whole lot different. So we see power to change. We see, plus the foundational love of God ultimately leads to a mature faith. This is how Paul summarizes his prayer in verse 19, that second part. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You want to be filled with the fullness of God. The result of these movements of God is completeness. It is fullness. It is maturity in the faith. This is the theme of Paul's prayer. That inevitable growth happens as God's power and God's love come together in our lives. Growth is inevitable. The deepening of our faith is inevitable when God's uncontainable power meet his inexhaustible love in our lives. Like two weather fronts that come together, the result is this hurricane or this tornado of growth and maturity in the faith. I remember growing up in Texas, and a cold front would come in from the north, and it would meet this warm air, and you would have this massive thunderstorm that would result when these two things collide. And Paul's prayer is that as the power of God, which is uncontainable, his Spirit working in our hearts to renew us, as it comes into contact with God's inexhaustible love for us, that those two things come together and the collision, the result of that collision is that we might be filled with the fullness of God, that we might be complete, that we might be mature in our faith, no longer tossed around, but sturdy and steady and able to stand. It's the process that is in view here for the Apostle Paul. God's power and his love lead to our maturing in the faith. You see what Paul's praying for here? You see what he's praying for in this text? This is a total renovation of the heart that God is after. Paul is asking God that he would totally renovate the hearts of these people. But why does that matter? It matters because it changes everything. It changes everything. Nothing can stay the same when God's power and his love come to bear in the life of a believer. You know, we are so easily distracted, aren't we, from what really matters in this life. Like Martha in Luke 10, who was worried and upset about many things, when really only one thing mattered, and that was what Mary had found in being with Jesus. But our vision so easily gets pulled back earthward by what we see around us. And the things that we so desperately cling to in the hope that they will bring us joy ultimately prove counterfeit. They ultimately disappoint. That's why this prayer for an increased awareness and experience of God's power and his love in Christ is so important, because it changes everything. So in the coming weeks, I want us to consider how the power of God's inexhaustible love delivers us from fear. It drives away sin. It causes us to love one another who we wouldn't normally love. And it motivates our mission to tell others about Jesus. God's love is that powerful in our lives. And all of that, just like in Paul's doxology in verses 20 and 21, fuels our worship. It fuels our worship of God. Look at what Paul says as he kind of explodes in praise to this powerful, loving God. In verse 20, Paul uses three different words to express God's uncontainable power. that's on display in the church. He says, this is my translation, to him who has the power to do super abundantly more than anything we can imagine, according to his power, which he powerfully works in us. Paul praises the uncontainable power of God to do more than anything we could imagine. His love is unknowable in verse 19, and his power is unthinkable, uncontainable in verse 20. What does God want to do in you this year? What does he want to do in you this year? Do you think the best that God can do this year in you is to give you that job that you were longing for? I hope he does. Do you think that's the best that he wants to do in you? Do you think the best that God wants to do in you this year is to give you money or to cure your cancer? I hope he provides for you. I hope that he heals you in some way. But do you think that's the best that he wants to do in you? Like, we don't even know. We can't even imagine the things that God wants to do in us. He wants to do so much more. So for some of you, 2018 is going to be the year that sin in your life that continually whips your tail, that continually keeps you down, is going to be overcome. For some of you, 2018 may be the year that God renews and restores your marriage. For some of you, 2018 is going to be the year that God, in his grace, converts your kids or your family members. Listen, we don't even know the things that God wants to do in us and through us. For some of you, listen to me, 2018 is going to be the year that you actually begin to pray. Or that you actually begin to read your Bible and to fall more deeply in love with the Lord Jesus. Listen, we don't even know what God wants to do in us and through us. But above it all, he wants to make us like Jesus. He wants to make us like Jesus. Jesus, who was completely secure in the love of his Father. Jesus, who had a clear picture of his identity and his purpose on this earth. Jesus, who pleased his Father in all things. Look, we can be confident in God's power to lean into whatever he has for us in 2018. We can be confident in his power to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in us in 2018 because we are confident in his inexhaustible love for us in Christ Jesus. So, my prayer for you, for us as a church, and I hope that your prayer for me is that we would sink our roots deep into the power of God's inexhaustible love for us in Christ. Because if we will, we will see God do in this coming year things that if we were told them now, we would scarcely believe. We can't even imagine. Here's the question. Will you allow the power of God's love to have its way in your life? Will you pray it? Will you pray for growth in faith for yourself this year, understanding what it will cost? Will you allow yourself to be captivated by the power of God's love for you in Christ? The best way to do that is to immerse yourself in Scripture. Because this is the revelation of God's love. This is where we see the Word of God. That is the one who shows us perfectly what God is like. This is where we meet Jesus, is in the Word. Robert Murray McShane, he said, "Learn much of the Lord Jesus. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. He is altogether lovely. Such infinite majesty and yet such meekness and grace, and all for sinners, even the chief. Live much in the smiles of God. Bask in His beams. Feel His all-seeing eye settled on you in love and repose in His almighty arms. Let your soul be filled with a heart-ravishing sense of the sweetness and excellency of Christ and all that is in Him." What will 2018 be like for you? You know, it could be just a year like the last one was. Little good, little bad, but maybe overall kind of joylessly hopping from unmet expectation to unmet expectation, from one counterfeit to another. Or is it possible that it could be a year like no other? A year in which you look back and see the Spirit of God changing and renewing you in ways that you had never dreamt possible, making you more like Jesus, filling you with the joy that only comes when He sits on the throne of your life. I pray that it's the latter. I pray for us that this year the love of God would drive away our fear. That it would cause us to love one another. That it would destroy sin in our lives, and that it would motivate us to herald the goodness of the gospel all over Galway. That's my prayer. And I hope that you would pray that for me. That's what God wants to do. Well, let's pray and just ask for His help. Father, we come to You as the all-powerful, almighty, all-sufficient, sovereign God of the universe, who gives generously of Your grace. We pray, God, that Your Spirit would be at work on the inside of us to renew us, that You might make us day by day, that You might transform us, reshape us. God, that our hearts might be surrendered to the Lordship of Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So that we don't seek to live for ourselves, but we allow Jesus to do in us what He wants. Pray that we might be rooted, that our roots might go deep into the soil of Your inexhaustible love, that we might be secure, that we might understand our identity, and that we might live out our purpose. And in all of this, God, we magnify Your great power. Father, we pray that You would be at work in us, And God, if there are any here today who have never come to the place where they have accepted the love that you demonstrated in Christ on the cross, that they haven't trusted in the death of Jesus for themselves, we pray that today might be the day where they cease trying to live in their own power and somehow merit your favor and place all of their trust in what the Lord Jesus did. We recognize that by faith we are covered over with Christ. We are in Christ. And so every ounce of love that you have is love that is first directed at your Son that we get to share in through faith. So God, we pray that you would help us to bask in the radiance of your love for us. And we pray that that might change everything about 2018. We pray this because of what Jesus has done. In his name, amen.